Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol. My name is Jesse Romero, one man car. But I do have a ride along today. I've got Lieutenant Michael F. Trello. We're going to be talking about him, about a new book that he wrote, and I'm very interested to ask him all kinds of questions regarding the book. But before I start, I just want to remind you that as Catholic Christians, today is the feast day of the Immaculate Conception. This is one of the six holy days of obligations as Catholics. As Catholics, a solemnity is, this is an event in the life of the church that's just so huge that we as Catholics, we go and we thank God for this holy day of obligation that God has given us. And I'll tell you, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception is essentially this. The church has always believed it, but it was proclaimed by Pope Pius XII that the Blessed Virgin Mary was born without the stain of original sin, never committed actual sin. Now, why is that important? I'll tell you why. Because Mary, she's like the tip of the spear. Think of us, all of us, a marathon race. We're all running towards heaven, okay? And Mary's the tip of the spear. She's the pace setter. And so God has already perfected her from before her conception. She was perfected in every which way. And so Mary now becomes the icon. She becomes the paradigm of what it is to be a Catholic Christian, especially those in heaven and the church triumphant. And so Mary is held to us as exhibit A of what all of us are called to become completely in heaven as we work out our salvation with fear and trembling in this lifetime. Also want to mention that today's a solemnity, a feast day of obligation. And so remember to try to check the mass times around your area and try to get to the holy sacrifice of the mass today and thank God that he has given us the one true faith started by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. All right, let's get right into it. Seems like I have a lot of army influence around me. My father-in-law fought in the Korean War. He was in the army, rest in peace. My oldest son is an army sergeant in the reserves. I got my Wednesday co-host, Dan Schneider. He was a lieutenant in the army during Desert Storm. So I have a lot of army around me. And so another young guy from the army reaches out to me. Apparently he's listened to Jesus 911. And he sent me a manuscript of a book that he wrote. And I was very interested because there's a lot of sci-fi books out there. And to me, oftentimes, I think those books draw people more into the mentality of UFOs and extraterrestrials and stuff, and it moves them away from God. They start becoming, Martian chasers or UFO chasers. But this young guy reached out to me, and by the way, he's a lieutenant in the army, and he wrote a book that he sent to me, and I said, no, I got to have this guy on the show. So I want to welcome Michael F. Trello. He's a second lieutenant of the U.S. Army. Michael, welcome to the show.
Good to be here, Jesse.
And by the way, thank you for your service to our country. If it wasn't for young men like you that are willing to stand in the gap, who knows where we would be right now. So once again, thank you for your service. So let me ask you a question. Your book, obviously you took a while to write this book. It's 283 pages. And in your mind, obviously, you've grown up in that culture, Battlestar Galactica and all the stuff that young guys play on the computer and stuff. And so all of this was probably an influence on you. But I like the fact that you wrote a book, by the way, it's called The Canon Guards. And it's a book where it's totally Catholic in the way you approach it, because You're introducing demon slaying in our culture. And so tell me a little bit about what kind of book is Canon Guard? Give us an overview of the book Canon Guard, because I got a bunch of things I want to ask you, but let's start off with that one.
All right. Well, the book is, I call it Catholic science fiction, where you have your typical science fiction of, and by the way, sorry, my neighbors upstairs do have that treadmill going, so if you hear that,
yeah, it's not Michael, it's his neighbor's getting a workout. Yeah, no problem.
All right, so basically the theme of the book, you have your typical themes, you have your spaceships, you have the battles, you have it's in the far future, and you basically have interactions with extraterrestrials. But one thing about this book is that it, even though I'm not sure it's been technically, you know, church certified or whatever, my personal belief is that humans are the only intelligent life in the universe other than the angels. So in this book, the only intelligent life is humanity, other than the demons that obviously humanity ends up getting into this war with.
Michael, let me mention something. Let me jump in. You're saying something which is very interesting, because the traditional look of the Catholic Church is, yes, that we are the only life out there in the universe. That's the traditional view of Catholicism. And also, very interesting, the traditional view of Catholicism is that these UFOs and extraterrestrials, they're actually demons. So that's, I mean, this is the ancient view of the church on this topic, but go ahead. Yeah.
No, yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, what makes us separate from the rest of creation is our intellect and will. That's why we're made in the image and likeness of God. So therefore, by that line of logic, there is no other creation that has the same intellect and will that we do. So that's why in this version of sci-fi, humanity is the only intelligent life. They come across other non-intelligent life on other planets, but they're basically just beasts. You know, it's kind of like if you encounter a Godzilla-looking monster off on some random planet.
Got it.
It's not intelligent, but it's still there.
So what did you? Why did you call? Okay, how many chapters are in the book? By the way,
You've got two prologues, or a prologue part one and two.
Okay.
You have the synopsis of the history of mankind, which takes you through basically the year 2100 to the year 8000. And then you have 14 chapters actually about the story that is taking place.
Mike, you got a fertile mind. How did this come in your mind to write something like this? And by the way, the title, The Canon Guards, how did you come up with that title? And what was the catalyst or the influence that made you say, I'm going to write a book where, you know, angels, about angels and demons, but using the whole sci-fi genre? Who influenced you to do that? And how did you come up with the title, The Canon Guards?
Well, the big thing about it was I've always been a sci-fi nerd my entire life. I grew up with Star Wars and a little bit of Star Trek that my dad introduced me to. And then there's another sci-fi universe who I'll purposefully not name, because I read their books. I still read their books. I love them. And I almost became one of their writers. So I was actually going to be – I was trying to write a book in their universe. But then, even though they're authors like me, their editors didn't. So they kicked me out, basically. So I decided, all right, you know what? Fine. If you want to have a war is what you're going to get. So I decided to change it and write my own book in my own science fiction universe. And this one – make it specifically Roman Catholic. And I started writing this book when I was actually in a minor seminary, because I was reading one of their books in this other genre, and I said, you know what, I can do this. Only I can make it Catholic. So that's why I threw it in there. At first, I juggled around their names a little bit too for these super soldiers. I thought the Vatican Legionaries or Vatican Soldiers or something like that. But I said, you know what, it's kind of too... not too on the nose, but kind of tacky. So I decided, you know what? These guys are going to be the guardians of the Roman canon, the canon of the church.
Ah.
So that's where I came up with the canon guards. That's why it only has one end, for example.
I like
that. Science fiction has been a huge part of my life. So that's why I said, you know what? If I can take this, but instead of having kids growing up wanting to be Obi-Wan Kenobi or Star Wars character or Spock, next thing you know, they're running around with a crucifix on their chest, claiming their brother Captain Tarr, slaying demons.
I like that. Kenobi, I heard he converted to the Catholic faith a couple years ago. Just want to throw that out there. So
Ewan McGregor is a Catholic. That's awesome.
Yeah. So why? Okay, so you're kind of giving us the reason why you wrote this kind of book. You grew up, that was your world that you grew up in. You were very interested in this. And obviously, you want to take the entire sci-fi genre that young people are immersed in, and you want to basically give it a Catholic twist, to show them, I guess, the reality of angels and demons, correct?
Oh, yeah. And one thing that I described it to some people is that it's sort of a representation of the spiritual war that goes on over the soul pretty much every day. Because humanity pretty much represents us. And you have the canon guards, who are these 8-foot-tall, genetically altered super soldiers, who are, that's without their armor on. And with their armor on, they can get to 8.5 and 9 feet tall. And you have them fighting for humanity. And then on the other side, you have demons coming straight from hell, given material form. And so the entire galaxy of humanity is in this war against extinction, basically.
So what inspired you to write the book? I think you said a little bit, you went through minor seminary, the whole growing up in with the Battlestar Galactica genre, you know, your age group, young guys are attracted to that type of stuff. So I guess all of that were the ingredients, right, that inspired you to write that book. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. No, growing up in that, and especially when you look at the way most Christian or Catholic stories are presented nowadays, especially in the modern day, it's very new age, modernistic. You know, the Christians are always good, nice people. You know, it's always kind of raise you up on eagle's wings, kumbaya at the end, where God is good, yeah. But the traditional view of the church wasn't always like that.
That's right. The church is called the church militant, and that's for a reason. And I think, Michael, you're tapping into that. You're listening to Jesus 911. I got young second lieutenant in the Army, Michael F. Trella, wrote a book, a sci-fi book. It's called The Canon Guards. I'm interested in talking more about it. This is exactly what we need in the church. We'll be back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, Lord, come to our assistant. Make haste to help us. I'm a one-man car, Jess Romero. I'm here with Michael Trella, a brother in Christ. He's the second lieutenant of the U.S. Army. And, Michael, I'm interested. Oh, by the way, for all of you listening, today's one of the 6 holy days of obligation, the feast day of the Immaculate Conception. That's the feast day that was promulgated by, or the dogma was promulgated December 8th, 1854 by Pope Pius IX, where the church officially defined the dogma of the Immaculate Conception in these words. Here's what the Pope Pius IX said, quote, "The Most Holy Virgin was, in the first moment of her conception, by a unique gift of grace and privilege of Almighty God, and in view of the merits of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of mankind, preserved free from all stain of original sin." And we also know even actual sin. So don't forget to go to Holy Mass today and thank the Lord for giving us our Queen Mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who sits as Exhibit A in the communion of saints in heaven. But right now we're kind of talking about the church militant here on earth. And I think that's what Michael's tapping into. The fact is that life on battle earth, Job chapter 7, verse 1 in the Douay Rheims Bible says life on earth is a battle. It's a war. And with this book, Mike, tell us a little bit about your journey of faith. Okay, where were you born and raised? Were you raised in a Catholic family? Are you a convert? I guess you went to seminary for a while. Are you single? Are you married? Right now you're serving our country in the Army. And then what led you to write this book? So give us a little synopsis of your journey of faith.
Yeah, well, I'm a cradle Catholic. I'm number 4 of 9 kids. My parents are very, very devout Catholics. They raised us extremely well. And so I pretty much grew up with the faith my entire life. And I say my parents did a good job with telling us the what's of the faith as well as a lot of the whys of the faith, which really helped shape us, which is why, for example, all 9 of us are still strong Catholics, where no one's fallen away. We've been keeping ourselves on the straight and narrow path. So that's been really beneficial for us. And then my parents eventually came across the Legionaries of Christ, who were their religious congregation. We got involved with them, and my older brother went to the minor seminary that I eventually ended up going to, and he liked it there. Then I went there for the 5 years that I could, and I liked it there. And when I was there, that really helped solidify me in the faith. You know, the apologetics class, the basically philosophy and theology, the Thomas Aquinas that they taught us, going over one of the priests there, his favorite encyclical was the one by the one against communism. Which one was it?
Yeah, it's obviously in the 20s, in the early 20s.
Yeah.
Modernism, Pashendi.
It wasn't Pashendi. I can't remember which one it was. But anyway, all of our formation was basically Aquinas and that area, some more traditional teaching, at least in the minor seminary.
Oh, yeah. It was the encyclical on Christ the King. On Christ the King. That's the one where he speaks about the manifold evils of the world, communism. I think it's... But yeah, so you went to seminary for a while, and then what happened? Well, the Lord obviously moved you out of seminary because that was not your calling, and so you ended up enlisting in the Army? Is that what happened?
Yep, so after that, I did a couple years just going to community college and whatnot, and then I did end up enlisting in the military, which, by the way, I swore my oath on December 8th of 2016. So this is the fourth year of me being in the military,
crazy.
As well as my military service is automatically consecrated to the Blessed Virgin as the Immaculate Conception.
That's so right. That's no coincidence that was the day that you enlisted. Wow. Congratulations, Ooh. Young man. So, okay, now I see, based on your formation, now I see why you've been always thinking about the church militant and slaying demons and dragons. Not it all makes sense. I mean... You've been raised by good parents, so the faith was something that was the very oxygen that you breathe. You spend 5 years in a seminary with the Legionnaires of Christ, which is a very orthodox training for young men. You're probably involved with Regnum Christi, so yeah, it all makes sense that you'd write a book like this for your generation. So again, so this is probably what inspired you to write the book. I get that. So again, for those that are just tuning in right now, Michael, why did you write that book, Canon Guards? I know you mentioned the first segment, but there's always people tuning in. Why did you write the book, Canon Guards? It's a book, a sci-fi book about demons slain, I guess UFOs or extraterrestrials. Specifically, why did you write that? Is this something for the Catholic men in your generation?
Yes, as a matter of fact, it is, as well as for Catholics a little bit younger. Because right now, we are living in a culture where everything is going in the wrong direction. You're looking at science fiction, Star Trek coming out with their non-binary character. You're looking at Star Wars being overrun by feminists. You're looking at, kids growing up, and they like the sci-fi. They like the lightsaber fighting in Star Wars, the starships, the space battles, but there's no real grounds to it. And a lot of it's straight up heathen and pagan when you look at some of the magic and sorcery that goes on in these things. Mm-hmm. So this book is out to try to bring young, especially young men, an image of the church, which isn't that sappy saccharine, everyone's nice, yay God, to we are soldiers, we have weapons, we are fighting. Christ and the Blessed Virgin are our primary weapons. We're going to go out there and slay the demons that are assaulting us constantly and trying to destroy the human race, which is exactly what Satan wants to do to get back at God. So this whole thing is trying to influence the culture in such a way that instead of everyone running off the woke cliff, the satanic cliff that everyone's going off of, try to bring people back and say, hey, here's sci-fi, the space battle, the super soldiers, the ripping and tearing, as is the quote of a particular sci-fi individual that I like. You're going through, but at the same time, Catholic Church, crucifixes, papal crown and keys on the breastplates, bringing the Eucharist to battle and just obliterating everything in sight.
Wow.
That's a view of the church that we don't have anymore, but it's a view of the church that was the church for millennia. So I want to bring us back to that and have the culture look and say, hey, we're not dead. We're here, we're alive, we're fighters. We're men. This is a manly church.
That's right. I commend you, young man, for writing this book, and I commend you for your service to this country. So it's 2020. So you said you started writing this book what year? When did you start taking paper to pencil and started jotting down notes?
Well, I was a freshman in high school, so probably 2011.
Okay. And so once again, your target audience is obviously every Catholic, but I'm sure you probably are focusing on young Catholics or young adult Catholics. I'm guessing that Again, you want to teach them an aspect that they probably have never heard, that the church is the church militant, and our goal is to become the church triumphant. And I guess you're using all this imagery that they're used to because you're trying to paint. Because let's just be honest, there's been an incredible effeminization in the church as a result of bad people in high places. And so I guess you're trying to show people those oddballs, those sexual predators, that's not the church militant. That's the fake church. Those are the imposters. I guess you're trying to show people the timeless teaching of the Catholic Church, that the church here on earth is the church militant, and that we're called to armor up, as St. Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, put on the armor of God. And so I guess you're targeting a specific audience that has forgotten the title that the church is Ecclesia Militans, the church militant. Is that, am I describing your position accurately?
Yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head right there. Because, I mean, the primary target audience would probably be, it's young Catholics, in particular young Catholic men, because this is these are super soldier men we're following here as they go along on this crusade against the demons. And I would say, as far as, I'll just get a little age restriction here. In the book, there's nothing adult-themed in it, but the battle scenes do get pretty graphic and pretty intense. So if you have an active imagination but aren't ready for that, then I understand. But you're looking at maybe middle school and up for people who might want to read this and like intense sci-fi battle scenes with a very heavy Catholic twist. And if they want to learn some Latin, too.
Got it. Ah, good. So, Michael, you obviously you told us how you were formed as a strong Roman Catholic. You're one of nine kids. Your father's mom and dad are practicing Catholics. They basically passed on the faith to you guys, as good Catholic parents should. You spent 5 years in seminary, so obviously you have a very strong Catholic formation. And by the way, let me ask you a question. Would you find the discipline that you found in Catholicism, has it helped you being a soldier for the U.S. Army? Just the discipline in Catholicism, is that something that has been beneficial where you're at right now as a second lieutenant?
It has, and I will say this. The discipline in Catholicism, especially when you look at true traditional Catholicism, it is even more so than the military, I'd say. It prepared me to the point where I looked at the military, and when I got in, it was, as far as the disciplinary measure, just kind of easy. Because they say, all right, do this. Here's our way of life. Here's what we have to do. And I'm able to say, all right, set myself aside, and let's do the task that has to be done. So absolutely, disciplinary Catholicism and having a rather disciplined life growing up, knowing what's right, knowing what's wrong, following rules that made sense, that really did help with the military as well. And in fact, sometimes even supersedes what I've experienced in the military.
I've heard that from many other people as well. There's a guy that I interviewed on the show. He was named Captain Guy Gruder. He was a prisoner of war for 5.5 years in North Vietnam. He was shot down when he was in the Air Force. And he told me, he said, Jess, in 5.5 years, as we were, you know, in a North Vietnamese prison, and a lot of us were tortured, especially some of us, the officers, he says, what sustained me for 5.5 years as a prisoner of war, he says, was my Catholic faith. I had this routine of prayer, morning, midday, evening. I had meditative prayer throughout the day, contemplative prayer. He says, I did my rosary in my fingers. He says, it was my Catholic faith that sustained me for 5.5 years. He goes, many fellow soldiers of mine from all branches of service that were also locked up as prisoners of war in North Vietnam, he goes, many of them committed suicide. He says they were atheists, they were secular humanists. They had no hope. They had no hope in an afterlife. And so Captain Guy Gruder is saying exactly what you're telling me right here and many others, that it was his Catholic faith that sustained him and gave him hope that one day he would be free, if not in this life, in the next. And so I hear that over and over again. So let me ask you, Mike, how are you hoping to influence the culture with this book? And I'm sure you're a young guy, so I'm sure this is probably one of a series of books that you'll be writing, because I think you're scratching young Catholics where they itch. So is this kind of your way of giving back to the Catholic faith and influencing the culture by writing these type of books that you know that would appeal to young Catholic men? Hold that thought. I hear the music. You're listening to Jesus 911. I'm talking to Mike Trella, Second Lieutenant U.S. Army. He's written a book called The Canon Guard. It's basically a book of dragon slaying, but it's written with that sci-fi bent to it. And it's the perfect gift of Christmas time for your young Catholic man in your life. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. We're talking here with Second Lieutenant U.S. Army Mike Trella. Wrote a book called The Canon Guards. He's a young Catholic man. And again, he's got involved in what I would call evangelization in the culture wars. He wants to make a difference. He's probably seen that a lot of his generation is hopelessly confused and basically, you know, chasing shadows. And so he's using all his influence to write to his generation books that would speak to a young Catholic, because he really knows that a lot of young Catholics, they need another young man to come alongside them and just tell them, man up, toughen up, okay? You can do this. You can do this. Just like the Bible says, iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. And so, Michael, obviously, your goal as a young man, I mean, you have many, many, many years left to do battle here on planet Earth for Team Jesus, for the mystical body of Christ. These books are a starter for you to try to influence the culture wars and try to get more men on board with basically with the message to toughen up and, you know, pick up your cross and follow Jesus Christ, or as our Lord says, he says, put your hand to the plow and don't look back. You're calling men to be re-engaged with their Catholic faith and to get involved in the ministry of helping people love God and save souls, correct?
Yep, absolutely. You hit, once again, I like to use this phrase, hit the nail on the head, because what we're trying to do is, I look around at the culture, and I look at young men, and there is this, well, first of all, a lot of people are confused about Catholicism, and it's very sad to hear when I hear other guys say, yeah, I was raised Catholic, but I can't remember last time I went to church, and they don't even give a reason why they left the Catholic Church, they just said, I just kind of fell away, I just kind of stopped. And when you have the fire of, especially like we've talked about, the traditional church, where men are called to be crusaders, don the white tunic with the red cross on it, take up your sword and go retake the Holy Land, you know, that kind of church doesn't have the men who will just say, no, I just kind of fell away, because they don't feel like anything's being demanded of them. So what I'm trying to do here is look and say, no, you are a young man, especially in the church, you are called to fight, you are called to stand up. A lot is being demanded of you, especially, I'll say, if you're a priest, a lot is demanded of you. And as a husband, a father, a lot is demanded of you. Also, let's guess to use this to say that today also marks my 6 months being married. So,
oh, with the Lord. Congratulations.
Thank you. And that's something I take seriously, because as the husband, I know I'm the head of the household. I know I'm called to lead. I know I'm called to fight for my family. I know I'm called to make sure that my wife and however many kids God blesses us with need to stay on the right track and engage in this fight as well, the way that we're called to do. So young men out there, if you're listening, don't be afraid to stand up. We live in a culture that tells young men you have to be women, that tells young men you have to wear the effeminizing clothing, that tells young men you can't say anything, otherwise you're some sort of sexist. No, stand up. We need to lead. We need to fight. We need to be true men, strong, patient, kind, but willing to fight and defend those who we need to defend.
Amen. Music to my ears. So what plans do you have for the future? What's long-term projects and stuff? Very honorable what you're doing, your service to our country. Do you plan on making the Army a career, or are you looking at some things maybe in the future, something that interests you?
Well, I'll see how long I can stay in the military. I'm with tanks, and tanks are my absolutely favorite thing about the military. So I'm pretty happy with that. When you get to Once you've experienced driving a 72-ton death machine, there's nothing really quite like it. So, I hope I can stay in for as long as I can. It depends on where the military is going, because, you know, there's some things I'm looking at, especially from a Catholic perspective. And what I learn, I say, there's some stuff going on that I'm not too big a fan of. So right. We'll see where that all goes, to see how long they'll let me stay in.
Right.
But yeah, as far as the books, though, the Canon Guards is only the first one of this Galactic Armageddon series. So it's going to be a series I'm hoping to expand to. I have other books planned as well. Some science fiction, one set a little bit more fantasy, and one set just to take place in just the near future with a projected war that might take place, or two of them, rather. So I have a couple of book projects planned.
Michael, do your commanders know that you wrote this book with your name on it? I mean, is there any conflict or stuff about you writing this sci-fi book and using the whole Catholic theme and military, you know, spiritual warfare? As any conflict with being, active military?
I haven't had anything experienced yet with that. My immediate supervisor, I found out, he also goes to the same Latin Mass that me and my wife like to go to.
Oh, okay.
So that was very convenient.
You're on safe ground then right now. Unless you get a pagan, Wiccan supervisor or something like that.
Hey, you know, I've heard stories. I have heard the stories.
Yeah.
There are so many stories I could tell you about how I look at this and say, oh, in the name of religious liberty, we're allowed to make you do that. I'm like, and I'm sitting here thinking, am I summoning a demon in the barracks? No, we shouldn't be allowing that. But, you know, that's one part of the new army that I'm a little bit shaky on. So.
Right, right. I get it. So what's your message for young Catholics? You're a young Catholic man yourself, so what is your message to other young Catholics? I want you to give them 2 minutes, not of hell, of heaven. What's your message to young Catholics?
Well, young Catholics, especially young Catholic men who might be listening to this, stand up, take up your cross, take up your sword and shield, and fight. And take that all the way through this war. Because the world is not meant to be easy. This world is not the end-all be-all. Jesus said it himself. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the cause of right. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we follow him, we will be hated. And if you follow him, especially in the culture today, which will look at you as a man and say, oh, because you're a man, you're evil. Because you're a man, you can't speak on this issue. Or because of whatever category they put you into, you can't say anything. That's BS. That's absolute garbage. Stand up and fight. Take up the cross. And like one of the characters in the book does, his crucifix is the hilt of his sword. Use that. Use your rope. Do the praying. Get physically fit. Learn how to defend yourself spiritually and physically. And just man up. You know, put on your pants and get out there and fight. Because we need to. Men need to stand up and get at it. Because a world with the phrase that I like to say, good times breed weak men breed bad times bring tough men breed good times. Well, we're in weak men breeding bad times right now. We need tough men.
Amen. I love it. Those are good words to live by. So, Michael, is this going to be, by the way, for those of you that are just tuning in, I'm talking to Michael F. Trella. He's a second lieutenant of the U.S. Army. He's serving our country. He's in his fourth year. Practicing Catholic, very devoted. His parents did an awesome job with him. He did a stint in seminary before he went into the service and is serving our country through the U.S. Army. But he's also has this side to him because of his proper formation in seminary where he wants to evangelize the culture, especially young men. And he's doing it in a way that I like it because this is kind of what I would call stealth Catholicism at its finest, because he wrote a book, and the book is called The Canon Guards. And by the way, you can get the book from Amazon. Michael, where else can they get the book from? Tell people how they can get the book from The Canon Guards.
Well, the thing right now is it's currently only available via Amazon because I had to use them to get it published. because I was going through a different publishing company, but they ended up falling through for me. This book could have been out 3 years ago had this publishing company actually done its job, but they didn't. I'm not gonna name them because I don't want to be that mean. It's not necessary, but yeah, it's just, it could have been out a lot sooner. So it is on Amazon. Just type in The Cannon Guards and you'll find it there. If you're looking, let me see here, like, as I have a copy of the book right here, just look for the, let's see if you can see it there, look for the soul, it's hard to see with the lighting, but silver armored soldier, crucifix on his breastplate, and papal crown and keys on the shoulders, you can't miss him.
Wow. Wow. So how can people best support you, Michael? What can they do so you can continue? Who knows? Maybe this could be a series. How can people best support you?
Well, the first thing is with prayer. I always ask for prayers because it's the most powerful weapon we have, and it's powerful defense for our fellow brothers and sisters in the church. So please absolutely pray for me and my family. Pray for my wife and pray for our future son due in March. So pray that he can be healthy. Especially pray to St. Benedict because he's our unborn son's patron. And but as far as any sort of financial support, I kind of feel like Bernie Sanders when I say that. But
hey, buy my book. Buy his book.
And once, yeah, just go ahead and get the book out there. Get the message out there. Tell your friends, hey, you know this? You know the Catholic Church of everyone's nice and just stay calm and let the world burn. It's fine. Just be nice to people. Here's a book that says, no, we're not going to do that. In this book, the galaxy is on fire, and the church is saying, no, we're not going to let this happen. And we're sending soldiers out to slice and blast our way through the demons of hell to save humanity.
I love it. That's exactly the message young Catholics need to, even not only old Catholic, not only all Catholic men need to hear this message. Michael, I want you to share a story or two of the way your Catholic faith has helped you in these last 4 years in the Army, or maybe you've been able to bring somebody, a lost soldier who's basically just a pagan or just a, you know, just a fallen away Catholic. You've been able to bring them back into the church. I'd like you to share with the audience two or three stories of, maybe we could call it evangelization encounters that you've had, evangelization, you know, what I would call divine appointments. You know, maybe you're working with a guy who says, man, I'm going to get divorced from my wife and life sucks and I feel like eating my gun. And you were just there for him and you gave him the message of hope, the message of the gospel. So on the next segment, I want you to share a couple stories of the way you've been able to share your Catholic faith to those people that are hopelessly lost. You're listening to Jesus 911.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
The Cannon Guards, it's a novel written by Michael Trella. He's a second lieutenant with the U.S. Army, serving our country honorably. He's a young Catholic man. Michael, you've been in the service for 4 years now, and you're doing something incredibly honorable for the country. Have you had the opportunity in the last couple of years to share your faith with a fellow soldier, with somebody that was basically at the brink of despair or despondency, and you've been able to reach him with the gospel of Jesus Christ and give them hope and maybe even pull him into the Catholic Church? Is there an incident or two in your life that you can recall?
As far as bringing someone from the brink of despair, I'm not sure. If I did, then I'm happy that I helped. But I do have a couple of stories where it was definitely my Catholic faith that had made a major impact on the situation. Two of them actually came from when I was in infantry basic combat training, because I enlisted as an infantryman. So I was there, and I pretty early on gained a reputation as the Catholic in the platoon, because there were a couple others, but they weren't exactly, they're again more the fallen away types. And so what I would do is I would pray my rosary every day. I mean, nowadays I try to pray the full 15-decade rosary like the church used to have, so I try to do that now. But I was doing the daily 5 decades, and excuse me, it came to the point where when we occasionally sleep outside because soldiers do that, especially in the infantry. So we're out there, and the first night we were out there, it rained. And I said, you know what? I hate sleeping outside in the rain. So every time since then, if I heard there'd be rain coming in and we were sleeping outside, I'd take out my rosary, which is actually the replica of the World War I battle beads. So, but my brother-in-law gave me, so very grateful to him. He's a very good man. And so I would take it out and I'd start praying the rosary, and I would see the weather change. And I remember one specific incident. We were out there after a live fire range, and I heard the drill sergeants talking about rain coming in. We were sleeping outside that night. So I sat down beneath the bleachers, pulled out the rosary, and started praying it. And about halfway through the first decade, the wind changed. I saw the clouds coming in from one direction, and they stopped and went back. And I was like, well, Blessed Mother is really, really watching over us here. And it came to a point where, like, one time there was supposed to be a lightning storm at night. We were out there sleeping in we called them ranger graves. Out there we dig holes in the ground for our little patrol base. And we're sleeping there, and there's supposed to be a lightning storm. So they pull us up and try to get us under some shelter, and I started praying the rosary again. The lightning storm that hit, it was no rain, and it was just heat lightning that we get down here in Georgia. Well, not here, I'm in Kansas now, but down there in Georgia. So we were spared from a deluge and lightning strikes. Another thing that happened was another night out on the range, and just the same thing, kept on praying the rosary, and I saw the clouds. The storm was coming, and this was just amazing. They split around our sleeping area, so we didn't get hit by any rain. And at the end of it, even though guys have made fun of me for, they poke fun at my Catholicism, always having a rosary out, toward the end, when it came to hearing about bad weather, they'd come up to me and say, Trilla, you better pull that rosary out.
So word got out then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That you would pray and the weather would change.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. I mean, that's a way of sharing your faith, witnessing, because you at least you planted a seed in their mind. They're saying, wait a minute, there's something to this praying stuff in the Catholic faith. I'm talking to Michael Trilla, the second lieutenant, U.S. Army, wrote a book called The Cannon Guards. If you want to pick up a couple of copies of those books, talk about a good read for young adults. It's basically a book of slaying demons, okay? And our culture, young men need to know that angels slay demons, and our prayers have an incredible effect on that warfare that goes on in the spiritual realm. The fact that angels are, overcome the diabolical, a lot of that happens as a result of our prayers. So I would recommend, if you got young adults at home, teenagers, get a couple of those books. Go to Amazon. They're called The Cannon Guards. It's on a paperback. And give us, again, for those just tuning into the show, Michael, give us an overview of what's in the book, The Cannon Guards, and why a young person would be interested in reading it.
Yeah, so, again, this is a Catholic science fiction novel. So it's got space travel. It's got your 8-foot-tall super soldiers with a 30-millimeter cannon mounted on his arm, fully automatic, blasting his way through demons, also with a golden flaming sword basically going through. But it's all Catholic focused. You have humanity in a desperate war for survival against a demonic incursion. You have most of humanity is atheistic at this point, but you have the Catholic Church who is there, and they're the strongest soldiers out there, because even though the rest of humanity can destroy the demon's corporeal form with their weapons, because the demons have a corporeal form in this, they can't dispel the demonic spirit, because without God, you can't do that. He's the only one who has the authority. So it's these cannon guards, these 8-foot, 9-foot tall super soldiers who run in and can do the real damage. You have the priest in there too, who has a monstrance with the consecrated host on his back. Wow. And you'll see when he does a benediction, it basically creates a golden nuclear explosion that just destroys demons everywhere. And you have people being converted to the faith. You have the underground normal people who are Catholics calling out for help. Big battle scenes. They're pretty intense battle scenes. That's the one thing where I say, younger readers, be wary, because it's I pull no punches with how the scenes go. But yeah, it's, you take something like Star Wars or Star Trek and do away with the, what, any sort of good kind of sorcery, and do away with any sort of atheism or other cults, and you make it, these guys are Roman Catholics and the devils don't stand a chance.
Wow. Tell me about some, but maybe your favorite, one or two of your favorite chapters of the book that give us a teaser, especially for young men. Give us one or two or three of your favorite chapters of the book that you know speak to the heart of a man.
Well, here, one of the best chapters, I have to say, would be, I think it's in chapter 2, which is basically the main character, he's been in training, because the training to become one of these, they're called the Canon Guards.
What's the name of that chapter?
The chapters don't have names, because had I tried to do that, Amazon, I couldn't work too well with their formatting. That's why I would have included a table of contents as well, but the page numbers would have been off.
Okay. So chapter 2, yeah. Go ahead and tell us about it.
Yep. So chapter number 2 is the one where you have the main character. He has a group of other novices about to be knighted. This is their last mission. And their whole task and purpose is to get down to Earth, which is the capital of the galaxy, which is another thing that I mentioned. No, Earth is not overpopulated. It's not a nuclear wasteland. It's not garbage. It's not a garbage heap. It's the capital of the United Systems of Mankind. Still booming. It's still clean. Everyone can still live there. So they have to get to Earth. They have to find the old ancient tomb of St. Peter without being detected, which is harder because these guys are all 8 feet tall and huge. But they find a way to do it. And when they get to the tomb, the priest who recruited the main character is there. And the main character's dad, who he hasn't seen in 20 years, is there. And it's just a very emotional, heartfelt scene. I think my dad read that and came to tears when he read it. Wow. So that was that chapter. It shows the familial aspect, and it shows where the heart of the church still is. The tomb of St. Peter is still there.
Michael, do you have a chapter in the book where the church is forced to go underground?
Yeah, so basically the church is underground at the outset, because in the beginning you have the synopsis of the history of mankind, which takes you through the major events that led humanity up to this point and this mess that they're in. And part of it is the church being driven underground because humanity's going whole hog on the atheism, science, technology, which is not in opposition to the church, but people think it is. So I played on that as well. So the church is underground at this point.
Do you have a chapter on, is there kind of the whole Terminator motif about the rise of machines? Is something like that in the book?
There's an interesting thing also mentioned at the beginning. These guys aren't the main villains, but they are in separate areas of this universe that will come up in later books. You basically have this thing called, this entity called the Machine Empire, which is basically, you have one guy who failed to get into one of these Night Legions, where the super soldiers, and because he was jealous, he went off and basically created what's called a mortal sin among the scientists, which is create a completely independent AI, and basically creates a machine army as him as the emperor of the Machine Empire, and basically he starts his own conquest as well. So humanity is dealing with a demonic incursion from one side, and a droid, basically, incursion from the other side. So,
got it. You're listening to Jesus 911. I'm here with Michael Trella. He's a second lieutenant with the U.S. Army. He just wrote a book that I recommend. It's a novel called The Canon Guards. You can get it from, it's on paperback. You can get it from Amazon. And again, it's basically a Catholic science fiction novel, but everything about that book would impel a young man to realize that life on Earth is a battle, mostly a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual warfare book wrapped up like a Catholic science fiction novel. And the message for young men, for Catholic men, period, is that we got to man up, we got to toughen up, and we've got to realize that we have an incredible responsibility as men because we have spiritual authority. Mike, any any last minute comments you want to make? You got about a minute. Go.
All right. So one last minute comment that I want to make right now is there is one scene in the book that if you get to it, you'll realize the power of the Eucharist, which basically when the knights are there fighting off one huge demon, they're kind of, the cannon guards are struggling, but then the priest who's the cannon guard, he shows up with the monstrance, glowing flames from his sword, the monstrance and his eyes basically vaporize it.
Wow.
So if you want a good image of the power of the Eucharist against demons, the book helps with that a lot. And then
I love it.
That's kind of,
thanks
and
a lot.
Young man out there, just fight.
Amen.
Young man, fight.
Thanks a lot, Michael. We'll have you on again. You've been listening to Jesus 9-1. We just finished the interview with Michael Trella, 2nd Lieutenant U.S. Army. Buy his book called The Cannon Guards, Amazon. Buy a couple of copies for the Catholic young men in your life for this Christmas. And just want to mention that up next, we got Gary Machuda, Hands-On Apologetics from the Midwest Command Center. By the way, if you like the show, then go ahead and like us and hit the subscribe button. And we'll see you next time. We're out. We're 10-7 Water Service. God bless you. Keep the faith.